Thank you to the musicians, and I appreciate you singing that. We sang it together Wednesday night just a little bit differently, and it's a little easier today. And I ran across that hymn. I had never heard of Brother Von Rist until I was studying for the message this morning, early in the week. And I found his hymn, and I enjoyed it so much, I said, well, that just goes right along with what I'm preaching today. So we are turning to two passages of Scripture in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews and 1 John. Hebrews chapter 2, and we can maybe stick one finger in Hebrews chapter 2, and then we'll turn over to 1 John chapter 3. These two passages together. We'll begin reading at Hebrews chapter 2 and begin at verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We'll end our reading there in Hebrews 2 and 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 John 3 and verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. We trust that the Lord will bless his word to us today as we meditate upon his truth. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Over 200 years ago, a dear German pastor was about to leave this world for glory. He was lying on his bed, and he was thinking about how it would be as he walked through the valley of the shadow and crossed over the river. A dear friend was there at his bedside. And that friend asked him, are you afraid of death? The pastor thought for a moment, and he answered, which death do you mean? Jesus, my Savior, said, he that believeth in me shall not see death. And why should I be afraid of what I shall never see? He went on. The pastor said, the real death is eternal spiritual death. And that's already past for me. That's already passed for the children of God. Christ has borne that death already for us. All that we as believers have to endure is simply the separation of our soul from our body. And for this last and final trial, I'm sure that God will give us grace and strength for that, because the sting of death has been taken away for the believer. Our text here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, speaks of the fear of death that lasts for a lifetime. Many people, all their days, live in the fear of death. Now, I want you to listen very carefully this morning so that you will know the difference of that death that so many people fear, and that which the pastor was talking about. There are three truths in these three verses that we have here in Hebrews and 1 John. 1 John 3:8 and Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. And I want to set before you these three truths that are very obvious in Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15, and 1 John 3:8, all having to do with somewhat the same subject. First of all, we see the ability to die. The ability to die. Secondly, the demolishing of a craft. Demolishing a craft. And then finally, freedom from fear. I want us to think of our Savior, first of all, in His taking on the ability to die. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He, that is Christ, also Himself likewise took part of the same. Christ taking part in our flesh and blood, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So, the ability to die. The Lord Jesus Christ did the most wonderful thing. We have set before us here the greatest demonstration of true love that you will ever know. This is absolutely the greatest demonstration of love that any of us will ever know. That the eternal God, the Creator of all that exists, would determine from before all worlds that a member of the Holy Trinity would take to Himself or assume a nature that was capable of dying. That He would take upon Himself the ability to die. That He would leave His throne on high and come for sinful man to die. This is so astounding. Oh, wonder of wonders. What matchless condescension the eternal God displays. This act of taking on human flesh has revolutionized the whole world. It has revolutionized the world's chronology. For if you remember the way time was kept, the way that calendars operated before the coming of Christ was A.M., Anno Mundi, the year of the world. But this changed to A.D. now. Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Christ has changed the world by His coming. Verse 14, here it is, that He Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Since God would save his people from their sin, how could it be? He must partake of flesh and blood like us in order to pay for our guilt, to pay for our sinful rebellion. Christ had to pay for our sin. He had to pay in the same nature that sinned. Human nature. He had to make the payment in a true, real human nature for that payment to be valid. So Christ took part of the same. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Romans chapter 8 tells us in verse 3. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not sinful flesh, only in the likeness of it. Truly human, flesh and blood, but without sin. That through death, that is by dying, he could destroy or demolish him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Now, let's turn over to 1 John chapter 3. There at verse 8, 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now what does that mean? That word committeth is in the present continuous tense. And the meaning of one committing sin is that is the sinner's pursuit, going after sin. With all of the heart committing sin and living in the constant practice, unbroken practice, so that is like the devil, is of the devil. For that is the devil's activity of sinning from the beginning. But here in this verse, we see the demolishing of a craft. What does it say? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Ultimately, Christ's first coming and his cross work crushed the serpent's head. And Satan is therefore ruined. His head has been crushed. He knows that his time is short. Revelation 12:12. He knows that ere long he will be cast into the lake of fire everlastingly. But taking Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15 with this, we single out one of Satan's chief evil works. His particular point of strength. Literally, this is why Christ calls the devil the strong man. Did you realize that's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke? So that we understand the devil is the strong man in that parable. Now, his point of strength, here it is. The devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He goes around as a roaring lion, bringing fear upon and bringing fear into sinners, reminding them of death. The wages of sin is death, and that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. This is Satan's terrorizing man. And I tell you that there's great success that the devil has in making people afraid, especially afraid of the wrath to come. And yet, what is their response to that? You know, as we look at people today, we realize that many people are filled with fear. It becomes quite obvious. Now, we know there is a legitimate use of trying to protect those in the family that have physical issues that they need to be protected and given special care in these times. And I'm not talking about those who would wear a mask trying to protect their loved one. I'm not talking about that. But you know, it's very interesting to drive down the road and to see people riding in their own automobile with a mask on, as though they were afraid of their car. And to see people going about in their own home with a mask on, as though they're thinking that their home is going to give them this dreaded disease. And to see people in their beautiful yard or walking about on their estate with a mask on, as though the yard or the trees or whatever there is going to give them this dreaded virus. I tell you that people are afraid, and people are afraid of dying. And it is this tool, it is this particular point of strength that the devil uses. He uses this evil of making people afraid and terrorized, which actually drives some people to commit suicide. He reminds poor lost people of the inflexible justice of God and the unchanging nature of the law. He reminds people of its legal infliction of death and the wrath of the holy God. But never would Satan tell a sinner that Christ died for sinners. This is the devil's special work. This is his special craft. This is the devil's special business, to cause poor lost sinners to go about all their lifetime in the bondage of fear of that eternal penal death, the consequences of their sin. Well, thankfully, the Lord Jesus Christ has stripped Satan of this condemning, fearful power. Over whom? Not over the world. Christ has stripped Satan of this condemning, fearful power over the elect, regenerated people of God. And only as regards His elect, regenerated people. Christ accomplished great victory over Satan by taking upon Himself weak human flesh and blood, and therein humbling Himself to death in behalf of His own believing, blood-bought people. Therein, Christ spoiled principalities and powers. His cross work was His triumphing over them, Colossians 2:15, making a show, a display of them openly as defeated enemies, revealing that He had destroyed the devil and demolished His craft of making sinners miserable slaves of the fear of death. Believers are freed from this bondage, this slavery, this dominion, because Christ has paid all of our penal sufferings. All the believer's sin debt has been satisfied and paid in full. There is therefore now, and there never will be, any condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Now I added a little bit there, but I believe it is true. There's not now, nor will there ever be any condemnation for the soul that is in Christ Jesus. Now let's finish the verse. How do we know that we are in Christ Jesus? The scripture says there in Romans 8, 1, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What does that mean? We have a new course of life. We have new pursuits. We are seeking now and following after spiritual realities rather than running after the fading joys of sin and the flesh. Christ has come with the ability to die, taking to Himself real human flesh. Christ has demolished the craft of Satan in terrorizing sinners with fear of eternal death. And finally, Christ has freed from fear all His redeemed people. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. We do fear the Lord with a reverential, loving fear, but we no longer fear the wrath to come, because Christ has taken all our sin, all our guilt, all of our condemnation upon Himself. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You know, the Old Testament is full of lovely pictures of the victory that Christ won over Satan by demolishing the evil one's power over death and making people afraid and keeping even his saints under the fear of death. If you look back at the Old Testament, you remember Abraham. Abraham, with a few of his servants, took on a whole army of a king, and he demolished the enemy. And then he delivered Lot and Lot's family and all of their neighbors because he had won the victory and he freed them. And also, you remember Samson. Samson was a type of Christ in slaying the roaring lion that came out against him. And that lion and that slain lion brought forth sweet results from that victory. And out of that lion, you remember Samson took honey. And so our blessed Savior has taken and so demolished the evil one, destroyed the work of the devil, that He has brought us abundant sweetness of blessing and peace. And we also have this wonderful confidence in our Savior. Now, the fuller picture is given in the victory of David over Goliath. You remember Goliath was like the devil, terrifying the people. And while that was going on, David was still at his father's house. And like Christ, David was sent by his father to the scene of conflict and need. And as David came, he was loaded with good things to bestow upon his brethren, the Hebrews. But like Christ, David was not appreciated. He was not wanted, but he was mocked and he was falsely accused by his brethren. Now, just as Christ defeated Satan in the wilderness, even so David slew Goliath. You remember David went down to the brook and he took 5 smooth stones and he used only one of them to defeat Goliath. Even so, Christ, for his weapon against Satan in the wilderness, he took the law of Moses, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, but he only used one of the 5 books. He used the book of Deuteronomy to defeat the enemy. David had stunned Goliath with a stone, but then he slew the giant with his own sword. Even so, Christ vanquished the devil with his own weapon, with the power that Satan had over death. It was through death that Christ defeated the devil, who had before held the power of death and kept so many people in bondage throughout their lifetime. Thank God that our Savior used on the devil his own weapon to demolish his craft, his great strength that he had against making people afraid. Do you, dear friend, know what these scriptures are saying? Through fear of death, people all their lifetime are brought into bondage or slavery to fear. This is real. Real fear. Are you afraid to die? I can remember being terribly afraid to die as a child. Lying there in bed at night, I was afraid to go to sleep. I was afraid I would die and go into everlasting fire. I mean, many, many nights I would go to sleep with fear. Not just fear of the dark, but fear of dying and going into everlasting torment. And you know, not just as a child, but as a teenager and as a young adult, those fears still harass me. Those awful fears haunted me not only at night, but at the daytime. I can remember coming to age 16. I always look back at age 16. And when anybody turns 16, I say that's a turning point. Because when I got my driver's license, I was scared to get on the road and drive. Because one of my cousins had had a terrible wreck and almost killed him. And he stayed in the hospital all summer and went back to school on crutches. And right at about that time, my mother's sister was killed in a terrible car wreck. And then my mother's brother's wife had a terrible wreck right out here on this road. And thank God she was saved by the seatbelt. And I saw, as I had just barely got my driver's license, and the Morgan County let me drive a school bus my senior year. I just barely had my driver's license, just a little while. And as I was washing my school bus on Labor Day, getting ready to drive and start taking the children to school, I saw a terrible wreck right in front of our house. And I was scared to death to get on the road and drive because I didn't have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, only Christ can remove those fears of death, eternal death, spiritual death. So I urge you today, if you are afraid to die, call upon the Lord. Ask Him to deliver you from the fear of death, and He will do so. He answers prayer. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Let us pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank thee for the wonderful gift of thy dear Son, who has come into this world and won the victory for us. We thank thee that we do not have to spend our lifetime in the bondage to this terrible phobia anymore. We thank thee that all that is necessary for our salvation has been wrought out by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross in demolishing the devil's power to keep us under bondage and fear. Oh Lord, we thank thee for those sweet words. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We give thee praise, O Lord. Please bless thy word to those who are yet troubled and fearful. We thank thee, O Lord, for freedom from fear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.